All right, welcome to the Free Stretch here on JoeBucksFan.com. Bobby Fenton with you with another self-isolation edition of the show as we roll through the offseason, which we hope right now is going to be the same length that we thought it was going to be when it started back in the Super Bowl, which was in the most direct terms, in the most literal terms, last month. How long ago does the Super Bowl seem like? Now, I'm recording this on the night of March 31st, so by the time you're listening to this, it's April. But even as of right now, me saying the Super Bowl was last month, which is technically true, it feels like it was 3 months ago when the Chiefs beat the 49ers. And that was, again, at least for the next few hours that I'm doing this show, not by the time you're listening to this, that was last month. So here we are, and there is news today. There's been plenty to talk about that. That is not the issue as far as doing shows during this whole thing right now because stuff happened. And the NFL's got the draft still on tap. Nothing changed there. We've got a few weeks to go, and they've still got, as of today, they're saying, and we'll talk about this later on the show, that they're going to release the schedule in early May, which is a little later than normal. But either way, that they fully intend, as of right now, to release that schedule with a full 16 games starting on, you know, September 10th, I think, is the day, just like it normally would, and play 16 games in front of people and do a normal season. We hope that obviously is the case, but as of right now, we don't know. We'll talk about that more later in the show. Either way, thank you for joining us on this beautiful night. I'm on the back porch. I'm recording this, like I said, on March 31st. It's Tuesday night. There's a nice soft breeze rolling through the area. Some frontal wind, you know, although we didn't get any rain. By the way, here's some weather trivia, because I love weather trivia about my hometown, Tampa, and the Bay Area in general. But Tampa, and this is the whole area, not just Tampa, had no measurable rain in the month of March 2020. And again, there's a couple hours to go. It's like 10 p.m. right now. But I don't think it's going to rain before midnight. So, you know, there's only been, including this month, 9 months, and they haven't kept weather records, obviously, all the way back through the centuries, but even for as long as they have been keeping weather records, which is like 100 years or something like that, I have to look up when the first ones were kept. But this is only the 9th month with no measurable rain in Tampa history since they started keeping track of such things. And it's only, I believe, the second time, or maybe the third time it's happened in March, which is not a big rain month around here, but still, I mean, nothing. So add that to the list of semi-surreal things that have been happening lately. Either way, the Free Stretch is brought to you by Bill Curry Ford. Our good friends a mile north of Raymond James Stadium on Dale Mabry are open, okay? So if you're looking for a vehicle, and again, this is not a bad time to go look for a vehicle because you're going to get a deal. And I know things are hard for a lot of people right now, so it may not be a great time for you to buy a vehicle. But if you're buying one anyway, do not hesitate. Bill Curry Ford is there. And you can not just go to the website, BillCurryFord.com, and it's C-U-R-R-I-E, BillCurryFord.com. But you can go there in person, too. They're taking all the procedures and all the safety precautions and everything. But you can go look at cars. Obviously, you can look at the cars online, but if you're going to make the sale, if you're going to make the buy, you do need to go there eventually, and you can do that. So check them out and go see my good friend Sean Sullivan, the GM at Bill Curry Ford. Here's what they're doing right now. They know it's a tough time for a lot of people. So, if you buy a car at Bill Curry Ford, no payments until the summer, 0% APR for 84 months for you non-math majors, that's 7 years, okay? So, that's all on top of the always going on nationwide unlimited lifetime warranty. You buy a car at Bill Curry Ford, you can, as long as you're the one that still owns it, even if it's a few years from now, even if it's multiple years from now, even if it's 10 years from now, you have engine trouble, you're the owner, you bought it at Bill Curry Ford then, you still own it now, take it back over there. They'll take care of it at their magnificent service center. That's part of the deal. Same thing with 10 years roadside assistance. Same thing with your first year free service, oil changes, all that stuff taken care of. You get these things all the time at Bill Curry Ford. And now in addition, given what's going on right now, they've decided to go ahead and go no payments until summer for anybody and 0% APR for 84 months. So again, check them out, BillCurryFord.com, or go see them in person a mile north of Raymond James Stadium on Dale Mabry and see what you can't get done because, you know, a lot of things are going right now that people may not realize. And I would not encourage anybody to go against any type of regulations or recommendations or, you know, stay-at-home procedures that are in effect or things like that. But that is a thing that you can do. And so, you know, just throwing it out there. As of now, and again, these things change by the day. So, you know, before we get to, and there's a little bit of news with the Bucks. There's definitely some news with the league, and we're going to get to all that. You know, going through this the past couple weeks now, And it hasn't been. I don't want to, like, I mean, everybody's experience is unique. People have jobs that vary wildly in how much they've been affected. I know people who haven't been affected much at all. I know people whose entire livelihoods have been turned on their ear. You know, people with kids, like me, obviously they're home and you're having to put them through school at home and things like that, and others don't have kids. There's a million different experiences, okay? So, I can just tell you one of mine here. This has shined an uncomfortable light on my existence, really. I'm bearing my soul to you guys now. I don't care. I think I said this last week on the show too, but it's really like been hammered home in the day. It's been a week and a half since my last show, and I'm feeling it even more now. And the uncomfortable light is that I don't think I really ever had much going on in my life. And I think sports this entire time has kind of just been carrying things for me. And when you take sports away, like I have here, like we all have here, you know, I think a lot of times with sports, I felt like, hey, there's a Lightning game tonight, there's a Bucks game this weekend, there's a Gator game this weekend, that made me feel like I had something going on this weekend. And now that there's no sports, I realized I just never really had anything going on. Like, I need to get a life. Like, I know everybody kind of, to a degree, has had a lot of things taken away that they're used to doing. And I'm not complaining, by the way. I'm not, like, crying. Oh, my God, this is so hard. It hasn't been that bad, to be honest with you. But that's one of the things I've noticed. Like, I need to get a life outside of sports. Because now that there's no sports, I kind of just shrug my shoulders every night. I put my kids to bed. I feel like I'm getting a phone call from my mom, who's going to be listening to this at some point. But yeah, I mean, I guess the realization, because there's nothing wrong with needing entertainment. Everybody has different forms of entertainment. For me, it's sports. For a lot of you listening, obviously, it's sports or you wouldn't be here. But for others, it might be something else. I guess just the thing with me that I've realized is that I've spent so much time on things that I guess ultimately don't matter. Like, how many times a day was I, like, looking at the NHL standings, looking at possible playoff matchups for the Lightning, things like that. You know, just looking back at all the time I spent doing stuff like that, and then now it's just all gone. And part of it is my job. I mean, I do a podcast, obviously, here at joebucksfan.com. I do one over at, it's on hiatus now, but I do one over at lightningpowerplay.com about the Lightning. So these are things, I mean, even if I wasn't doing these things, I'd still be following these things as a fan, but having the podcasts and shows at least gives me an excuse to feel like I'm actually doing something to accomplish something as opposed to just wasting my time. But let's be honest, I'd be doing it anyway. And now that it's all just frozen and not going on, yeah, it's kind of been, like I said, a harsh look at what I really have going on in my life. And by the way, do y'all hear that sound in the background? Because I spent the entire beginning of this show talking about how we've only had 8 rainless months in recorded weather history in Tampa. And March 2020 is going to be the 9th one, but it's 10:37 right now. It's 10:37, and it is raining steadily. And it's April in less than 90 minutes, but it's still March right now on the last day of the month and the last hour and a half of the month. And this seems measurable to me. I don't know if you can hear. I'm on my back porch. The rain is pelting. I got a metal roof over my patio. Maybe you can hear it on the broadcast, I'm not sure, but it is raining right now, and pretty hard. And, folks, this is measurable. This is like losing a no-hitter in the 9th inning. Like, we were about to have an entire rainless March, and I want the rain, by the way. It's not like you're rooting for the no-hitter, but I thought for sure we were going to have it, and then here we go, 90 minutes to go, and the rain is coming down at about a 45-degree angle, the wind blowing through my backyard here at One Game Day Place, and it's a beautiful sight. Because I try not to overdo it with the sprinklers. I'm not a yard guy the way some people like. Their yards absolutely must look perfect all the time. And if it doesn't rain, well, they're just going to water their yard with 8 million gallons. Hey, if my grass gets a little brown, that's fine. Like, I'm a naturalist. I'm not like every little twig's got to be removed. Some people are out there every day blowing their driveway with pollen. That ain't my scene, man. So, you know, I haven't been. And my yard's doing fine, but this is nice, like, to see this rain coming down like this. And I know the area needs it, and I know that, you know, drought is going to be a concern because of the weather pattern we've had. So, soak it in, literally, folks. If you can hear that in the background right now, it's raining even harder than it was a minute ago. So, one more thing about this self-isolation, quarantine, shelter in place, all the different terms you want to call it. The hardest part about this to me isn't just all the things we have to do and all the things we have to give up. It's having to do all that and give up all that without knowing where the finish line is. The human mind and the human will is very, very strong, and it's amazing what it can accomplish if you just draw a finish line somewhere, even if it's far down the line, and you give somebody hope. Like, hope is a really powerful thing. And of course, this will end, so it's not like we have no hope, but there's a study, and I can't remember the exact study. I tried to Google it, and I couldn't find it, but I know it exists because I remember hearing about it. So this is anecdotal. I don't have the exact study. But there was a study done one time with people, and it was an exercise-related study, but it relates to this in a way anyway. And in the study, they had two groups of people. One group had to run something like 8 miles or something like that. I'm paraphrasing it from memory. The other group only had to run 4 miles. But the group that had to run 8 miles, when they started, they said, "You're running 8 miles. Like, let's do this. Like, buckle your chin strap, let's go." And they were like, "Okay." The group that had to run 4 miles, they didn't tell them what they just said, "Hey, you're gonna start running, we'll tell you when it's over," and that's it. And the group that ran 8 miles actually had fewer people drop out, like more people made, it was they controlled for all this, so it was like this, they were similarly conditioned people, and again, I don't remember everything specifically, but the point of the study was, if you tell someone what they gotta do, even if it's harder, as long as they know what it is, that's still better than not knowing what it is you really have to do. So if you told me, "Hey, we got to quarantine till," even if it's a date further down the road than we'd like to think, say, "Hey, we're quarantining till September 1 right now. No school, no summer camp, nothing. I don't care what it is, but you're giving me a hard date where we're out of this. Like, you can, September 1st, you can sign it back up. Life's going to get back to normal. We're going straight at it." Okay. You know, like, at least now I know. But the hardest part about this thing is, like, every couple weeks, okay, now we're not coming back to school till April 15th. Okay, and then a couple days go by. Oh, well, now it's May 1st. Okay, you know, then it'll be May 30th. Then it'll just be no school. It just keeps getting bumped back and back and back, and to the point where I'm no longer paying attention to the dates that they set forward about, okay, we're doing so-and-so thing until X month and X day. It's just indefinite. That's the hardest part about this, is just not knowing. Like, we've already lost the NCAA tournament. We've already lost a bunch of other sporting events. Some other ones have been indefinitely postponed. You know, we've got, like, hockey that's not canceled officially, but it's on pause. Do you really believe there's going to be a hockey playoffs? I mean, it's a hard thing to believe. I read articles all the time. Oh, well, here's the contingency plans for the NHL. What if we do 24 teams instead of 16? Blah, blah, blah. Oh, we can come back in July and still have room to play and then start the new season, right? There's a million contingency plans, right? And again, they all sound great. Just the idea of having something to talk about is great. But then we'll get another, you know, 3 weeks down the road, and oh, well, now if we do it, it's going to have to be with empty arenas only. Okay, well, that's fine. Then a month later from that, oh, well, now if we do it, it can only be like the Stanley Cup final, just two team. Okay, and then eventually they just can't, like, you know which direction it's going. Eventually they just cancel it all. So I've stopped thinking about those things, and that's the point about hope. Like, when you have a hard deadline, there's hope. Like, okay, I just need to get to this point, and things will be better again. I can hope for that. I can imagine that day being here. But right now, there's just nothing to look forward to, and there's nothing looking like it's going to get any better. And the main thing is football season, which is one of the things, you know, that came down today with news, if you want to call this news. The NFL, one of their general counsel guys, Jeff Pasch, he was asked about contingency plans the league might have and what are they looking at. And he said right now they are not, and at least officially, I'm sure they're looking at many things, but he said that as far as the league is concerned right now, they are planning to start the season with normal fans in the stands on September the 8th. That's a Thursday night. In fact, I'm doing this on Tuesday night. September the 8th is 23 weeks exactly from this Thursday. So 23 weeks, a long time. But he says that's when they intend to get everything started. Fans in the stands, normal 16-game schedule with playoffs. They have approved the seventh playoff team in each conference for 2020, and we're going to talk about that in a minute, but that's all what they're saying right now. And his quote was, and I'm giving you the exact quote now, quote, "We're pretty confident we'll be able to start on schedule." Now, look, could they start on schedule? Absolutely. It's way too early to say, oh, no, they're not going to be able to start football season on time. And with the amount of money at stake, believe me, they're going to do every possible thing that they can to make it happen. But to say confident, which I'm glad he's projecting confidence, I wouldn't go that far. I am hoping. I would say right now it's 50-50 that everything starts normally. And then I would say it's less than 50-50. Well, no, I shouldn't say that. I should say it's 50-50 that there's football this year. It's less than 50-50 to me that everything is just normal. Fans in the stands, all well. Week 1, September 8th, blah, blah, blah. That part is less than 50-50, I think. Now, that is just me saying that. None of us has any idea. Even the experts have, you know, we can look down the road and project, but it just, it sucks to think that it might not be that way. Especially with everything going on, you know, and Tom Brady. Like, Tom Brady's a member of the Bucs. I'm not sure if he's even been to Tampa yet since signing with the Bucs. You can't come to one Buc place. You can't have anything but a teleconference. So, I mean, it almost feels like it just hasn't really happened yet. And wouldn't it suck to have that happen and then, you know, something get delayed or, heaven forbid, the season get outright canceled? You know. But that's what they said today. It is really coming down right now, by the way. Like, you all can hear this on the microphone, I'm sure. And the reason I'm doing this outside, I like it out here, but the reason I'm doing this outside is because I have two kids. And, of course, nobody's going anywhere anymore. We're all at the house all the time. So I'm never alone anymore. I always record my show during the day when they're at school because I'm mostly a stay-at-home dad. I work part-time, but that's nights and weekends. And the only chance I have where I'm alone is during the day, and I can record. My voice can fill the house. Who cares? I can never get a moment now except for when they're in bed, and even then I got to come out here so that they're sleeping there. I don't want to wake them up there. So instead we got this beautiful spring rainstorm coming through. But anyway, looking at everything coming up ahead, like I've lost a lot of hope for hockey season. If you're an NBA fan, that's the same type of thing. I know it was announced today that the city of Toronto is saying no public events till like June, which everybody's saying, well, whoa, that just means hockey season can't happen, right? And technically, their announcement only covers city events. They said it doesn't cover like NHL and NBA and stuff, just city-sponsored events. But again, you know which direction this is all going. Or we all think we know which direction it's going. I hate to say it. And so, you hang on to that hope. Now, there was an article, and this is how crazy people are getting. Smart people, okay? Because Florio, who I like, on ProFootballTalk.com, he wrote an article that talked about the NFL's contingency plans for 2020. And the tweet was funny. It says, NFL's contingency plans for 2020 should include the possibility of taking all teams to the middle of nowhere for 4 months of coronavirus-free football. And, I mean, I think this is absurd, but here's the article. And this is written by Florio, who is very smart and who I pretty well like. I don't always agree with, but most of the time I do. He says, given the predictions and projections for the ongoing spread of the virus and in light of the reality that different NFL cities will experience the brunt of the outbreak at different times, it's not ridiculous to envision all 2020 games being played in empty stadiums. Okay, so far, I mean, yeah, I could see that. That's not ridiculous. He says, but even if no fans are present, how will teams be able to ensure that the virus doesn't spread through a given locker room? It's inevitable that multiple players will test positive and others will end up being exposed to the virus before players who test positive can be quarantined. He says entire teams could be knocked out of action if the virus starts jumping from player to player. Yeah, that's kind of the reason why I'm worried about football season. So go on, Florio. So he says, there's another way to have football. It's an extreme idea, one that was floated to a GM earlier this week and mentioned in the Sunday mailbag. He says the NFL takes all teams to a location free from coronavirus, tests everyone on the way in, and then sequesters the entire league for the full duration of the season. So we're talking about finding a part of the country that's both A, not plagued by coronavirus, or very, very, very lightly affected by coronavirus, and B, has facilities, and by facilities I mean fields. I guess they don't have to be stadiums at this point, but they have to be NFL, you know, appropriate fields. And not just fields, but places for all of these people to live. You're going to have to shut down literally a few thousand people, players, coaches, staff, I guess broadcasters, camera guys, like all kinds of people, both to play, coach in, and then televise the games. Test every single one of them, even though we barely have enough tests to the point that we're having to choose between who lives and dies in hospitals now because there aren't enough tests. Some people are dying because they didn't get tested in time because they didn't meet certain criteria, and then by the time they met the criteria, it was too late. These are all things that are happening, but we're going to get enough tests for all these people. And of course, there could be more available down the line when this is all happening, but I'm just these are all conditions that have to be met. You have to find a place in the country that's fairly coronavirus-free, but that isn't, you can't just go play at Area 51 or at the Four Corners National Monument where Colorado and Utah and Arizona and New Mexico meet. You know, that's not how this works. Like, you have to have a place that has facilities, has to have stadiums or at least fields, that has to have, I don't know, like dormitory living? Like, what are you going to do with all the players and everybody else when they're not playing? And then you're going to have to play all the games, like, back to back to back every week, have practices, have all these things. And this is like Biosphere, only on a much bigger scale. You know what it's like, for those of you that saw the Truman Show? It's like Truman Show-esque. Like, they have to build, like, some sort of a biodome that's so big you could see it from space. Put about 8 football fields in it, living quarters, food, everything. I mean, this is what Florio is saying. Like, he's putting this out there, like, hey, all we can do is consider the possibilities. He says the NFL, and I'm reading again verbatim now, the NFL needs to be considering the feasibility of this approach as a way to play and televise the 256 regular season games and 13 postseason games of the 2020 season. I'm reading again now. One possibility would be to find a place literally in the middle of nowhere and build enough fields to play the various games on a given Sunday and Saturday if college football season isn't happening. He says you'd have to build enough rooms to house the players, coaches, trainers, broadcasters, etc. for 17 weeks of football and 4 weeks of postseason. Another possibility would be to add to the football facility at the Greenbrier in West Virginia, which currently has 710 rooms. I know there's a golf tournament at Greenbrier in West Virginia. He says more rooms would have to be built and built quickly. More fields would have to be built and built quickly. Still, if and when the NFL decides that a normal season is an impossibility, this is the kind of approach that could preserve the TV money. I mean, I guess. And listen, I am not one of these people that shoots down ideas. I'm always one of these guys that's like, yeah, this can work. Like, I'm an idealist, like me. And I'm thinking, like, this is just effing crazy. Like, are you, like, this is, and this is not something that the league has said. This is just one guy talking. But it's not just some dude on the internet. Like, this is Florio. I mean, this is a guy who, you know, he's got credentials. And yeah, I mean, I think people need to understand that if that was the length you had to go to make a football season happen, I know these owners would eat their own young for a chance at a few, you know, million more bucks, but still, come on. Like, you, I mean, hey, I'd love to see it happen, okay? I mean, I wouldn't love to see it happen. I'd like to see the season go off as usual. But, I mean, is that better than nothing? Sure, but that's a hell of an undertaking for a resource-strapped country right now. And I can think of a lot of things that those resources could be better used for than building football fields and dormitories and isolating. I mean, every one of these guys would have to kiss their family goodbye. Guys and girls, I shouldn't even just say guys. I mean, all these people would have to kiss their families goodbye for months to go live in the middle of who knows where and just sit around and practice football, then play football every Sunday. And you know I'd watch every minute of it, by the way, so would you, but that's not the point. You know, it just seems crazy to me. But this is the kind of stuff people are thinking about right now. And we're like 2 weeks into this thing. I mean, you know, imagine once people, this is going to be like The Shining, where people just start going completely bonkers and floating. I mean, that's probably a pretty tame idea compared to what we'll hear if you give this a little longer. Anyway, this is real life now, what I'm about to report, not just pie in the sky ideas. So they approved the 2020 playoffs, like we're doing the seven teams in each conference. So now you've got, instead of 1 through 6, you've got 1 through 7. Only the number one seed has a bye. That's the best team in each conference. And then 2 will now play 7 instead of having wild card weekend off. It'll still be 3 versus 6 and 4 versus 5. That hasn't changed. So there was talk about who's going to have the extra game in each conference. Is it going to be a Monday night football playoff game? Well, no. They've said that there'll just be 3 games on Saturday and 3 games on Sunday. So I guess we're looking at a noonish or 1 o'clockish, then maybe a 4:30ish, and then the night game at 8-ish, something like that. You know, that'd be the pattern. So just be wall-to-wall football those 2 days, which as a football fan sounds great. I still don't like it. I think there should only be 6 teams. I think they had it just right. And all that doesn't mean... I know people are going to say when this first playoff weekend comes around, whenever that is, they're going to say, raise your hand right now if you're not happy about watching this wildcard game, then turn it off then, because a lot of people didn't want this to happen. Hey, you can both say I don't agree with this idea and still watch the football. Of course I'm going to watch the football. If they had a 32-team playoff, I'd watch the football. But that's not the point. The point is I think it's oversaturation. And I think it's too penal. I mean, the bye is a big deal. And so giving the top 2 teams byes, I thought, was the most just way of doing things, because if you finish 2nd in your conference, and a lot of times these things come down to a tiebreaker, or it's 2 teams that played different schedules. They didn't play each other head-to-head, and maybe one's 13-3 and one's 12-4. And, you know, if they both get a bye, then fine. And I know no matter where you draw the line, these are fine lines, but I just think in this case, with the bye being as big as it is, I think it was more fair to have the top 2 teams get it. Every Super Bowl, not winner, but every Super Bowl participant in the past 7 seasons, so all 14 of those teams, okay, had a first-round bye. The last team to get to the Super Bowl that didn't have a first-round bye was the 2012 Ravens, who played on Wild Card Weekend. They went on to win against the 49ers. But either way, it's been 7 seasons now. And, I mean, you're taking that bye away from half of the teams that would have had it now. And, I mean, the number one team should have an advantage, but they shouldn't have, I don't think, that big of an advantage, especially when, again, how much different is the number one and the number two team when they didn't play each other, or they played in different, well, of course they played in different divisions, they played different schedules. I mean, you know, 13-3, 12-4, maybe 14-2, whatever it is in a given year. I mean, who knows, you know? Like, I thought it was more fair the other way. If anything, I mean, there should be 3 byes, not 2. But anyway, the point is, they have approved this, so CBS and NBC are going to get the extra games, and they all already had one, but they're both getting another one. Those are the 2 networks that'll get it, at least in 2020. Here was an interesting little side note here. If you have kids, although even if you don't have kids, just for out of curiosity's sake, you might try this. The game that's televised on CBS, the extra game, is going to have its normal telecast. It's also going to have a separately produced telecast, okay? That's going to be geared more toward younger kids, and they're going to televise it on Nickelodeon. There's going to be an NFL playoff game on Nickelodeon, and not just simulcast, like we'll just throw the regular national broadcast on there. It won't be Tony Romo and Jim Nance. I don't know who it's going to be, but it's going to be on Nickelodeon. It's going to be geared toward young kids, which I'm going to watch that. I mean, obviously, I'm going to see at least what that's like for a quarter or so. I'm very curious, but I'm trying to imagine, like, what if, remember the Vontaze Burfict game, like the Bengals-Steelers playoff game a few years ago where he was just forearming people in the throat, like going over the middle, and like there's like 85 personal foul flags. Like, what if that was the Nickelodeon game? Like, in a given, like I'm just thinking of, you know, hypotheticals here. But no, I think it's cool. Hey, let's get the young kids more into football. I need to get my kid into football. He's playing a lot of FIFA right now on his Nintendo Switch, because Nintendo Switch doesn't have Madden. And I'm nothing against soccer. I like soccer. It's fine. And I like him playing it because it's good for his footwork. But he's really into it now. Like, FIFA has been the catalyst for him getting into soccer. And he knows all the terms and all the teams and all the uniforms. And I'm like, I'm seriously considering buying a 2nd gaming console, even though I don't need it for anything else because I have the Switch, just because there's no Madden. And I need to get this kid playing Madden. I want him to get as into football as he is into soccer. And video games are the way to do it, if not Nickelodeon. So, I don't know, if you want to email me, if you have suggestions, or if you have a used, like, PlayStation or something, or if you know where to get one, bobbygameday@yahoo.com is my email address. I'm not kidding. Bobbygameday. And I mean, I have the Switch. I can't believe there's not Madden for Switch. I don't know why that is. I'm not like a gamer person, but, you know, I'm a Tecmo Bowl guy going back in the day. And that was one of the ways I got hooked on. And I already like football anyway, but that was a, you know, I was those 1991 Bucks always. And I won the Super Bowl over and over. It was Gary Anderson, Vinny Testaverde. I had Mark Carrier and Gerald Carter as my wideouts. On defense, I was Wayne Haddix, who was awesome back in 1991. That's what, you know, that's how I grew up. And now my kids, you know, doing like, and again, soccer's fine. I like soccer, but I got to get them some baseball and football games, like the more traditional stuff, you know. So anyway, as far as Nickelodeon goes, and by the way, Nickelodeon, my kids don't watch any of it. And I have kids that are right in Nickelodeon's wheelhouse, but I think Nickelodeon isn't grown up enough, if that makes sense. Because it's a kids' network, but the shows I grew up on Nickelodeon, I'm not kidding right now. I think I learned a lot. They helped me with my vocabulary. They helped me with my sense of humor. They weren't little, you know, cartoon BS or the stuff you see now. I mean, we're talking about, like, and for those of you that are born in the late 70s, early 80s-ish, in that generation, I'm 30 now, I'm going to be 40 in June. You don't have to be exactly my age, but somewhere in that 1975 to 1985 time frame. If you're born then, you remember, right? You Can't Do That on Television. That was a great skit comedy show on Nickelodeon. Out of Control, Dave Coulier, who would later be on Full House. What were some other ones? Oh, don't forget Double Dare. Mark Summers. I remember Double Dare, right? Mr. Wizard was on Nickelodeon. Like, that's the kind of stuff. I know every person says, oh, in my generation it was better. But yes, Nickelodeon was better in the 80s and early 90s. Oh, Hey Dude? Who could forget Hey Dude? With Mr. Ernst and, you know, the cast of characters. One of them, Ben Stiller's wife was one of them. Melanie, I think. I always thought Brad was cute, the brunette with the freckles. I mean, Nickelodeon really had it going on there for a while. And, yeah, I'm sure there's some stuff now that kids 30 years from now will look back and say, oh, no, Nickelodeon was great in the, you know, around 2020. But I don't know. It's just not the same. I think putting football on it's a great idea, though. Email me if you want to, bobbygameday@yahoo.com. On Twitter, the handle is @bobbygameday. A little bit of Bucks news. Oh, I forgot. Can't forget this before we end the show. Okay. The uniform announcement is officially going to be done on April 7th. That is 1 week from right now. And I'm recording this on a Tuesday night, so next Tuesday, by the time you're listening to this, it may even be closer. Of course, 1 week away right now seems like a month away because of the way days just crawl by. You know, back in normal times, a month ago, you would have said, oh, next week, and I'd barely even be ready for it. Like, whoa, it's already here. You know, now, a week away, it's like, oh my God, are we ever going to see these uniforms? But they are supposed to be okay, and we will, unless something leaks, we will know them by next Tuesday night. And, of course, you probably know by now, Chris Godwin has agreed to let Tom Brady have number 12. Godwin's going to wear number 14. One more story I wanted to report, and this might be a feature we do weekly when I do the show here. I'll see how many things I can find. But do a little thing called This Week in Social Distancing. I'm going to try and find a story every week that kind of captures the times right now and exactly what we're going through. So this week in social distancing, I was reading about this a little while ago. You know, a lot of things are closed, right? Of course you do. You can still get takeout from most restaurants, although not all of them, and a lot of them are closing their doors altogether. And I love buffets, and they've been hit the hardest. I can't get my buffets right now. Tampa Buffet at Britain Plaza is a mainstay in the Fenton family. Love that place. And haven't been able to go there in a while. But other places are doing whatever they can to stay open. And that includes some of the clubs, if you will, that Tampa's known so well for. So 2001 Odyssey, completely closed. Can't go over there. Of course, you know, the adult entertainment industry does not lend itself well to social distancing. But they figured out, in a credit to their resourcefulness, a way. If you go to the website, they are live streaming, okay? So, it says here, and this is an article in the Tampa Bay Times by Gabrielle Calise. It says, like every other nightclub in Florida, 2001 Odyssey was forced to close for 30 days on March 17th. Adult businesses are ineligible for the state's business relief loans. There's a lock on the front door, and the booths remain empty. But the club is not finished. It says, just like business meetings, social gatherings, and school classes, pole dances are now done over video chat. And they actually, I guess, developed software to live stream their dances in the 90s. But back then, you know, it was like Prodigy and AOL and stuff. It didn't work that well. But now, of course, if you just go to their website, you have to pay something like $23 a month, which, not to tell people what to do with their money or not, you know, I always support local businesses and everything, but you really don't need to pay money to see people doing pole dances or many, many other things on the internet at this point. But hey, maybe you like the personal touch of knowing it's live. So anyway, you can do that. You can go to the website and pay, and these girls are coming in. They had the owner says that, like, you know, originally he was just going to shut down, then he realized he could do this. He texted some of his employees, and a lot of them were in. You can even tip them using, like, special software they have. And it says here that a security guard uses an infrared thermometer to check everyone's temperature at the door. A manager, an IT guy, and a DJ come in to man the live stream. Five or six women perform each evening, spaced far apart in their own booths or private rooms around the club as they wait for their turn. And then, of course, whoever's up gets up there on stage. They can rip off their pole dance. You can watch it online. And according to one dancer, quote, even though nobody's really in there besides us, they're still going around and wiping stuff down that we've been touching. Hand sanitizer is almost everywhere right now. They even installed industrial UV air cleaning systems in each air conditioning unit weeks ago. So they're out ahead of this stuff. And you may not have thought a strip club would be, but you would be wrong. And there's even a Make It Rain feature on the software. So you can, like, tip, like, whatever, you know, by clicking a button. But if you really just want to go nuts and just make it rain, there's actually a button for that. And when someone clicks that button, the sound of thunder cracks and a CGI heart confetti, you know, thing, like, flutters across the entire screen. What a time to be alive, huh? And so, this week in social distancing, that's one of the things that's still available to you. Hey, you're not going to hold this down, okay? Society's going to find a way to endure, and we know what we have to do. You know, this thing a few weeks ago, not even that, but a few days ago, so many people, and again, I'm not going to get political, but so many people were still, oh, it's this or that. And you hear a little bit less of that. You're a lot less of that now. You're fewer and fewer people trying to say it's a hoax. You hear more stories that are really sad about people who have either gotten sick or passed away. You hear about the people on the front lines. My aunt Gigi's a nurse over at St. Joseph's. But I've got other friends, too, who are in the medical profession, and they're in there in the hospitals. And they can barely get masks, but they're in there every damn day. They're working long and hard at very high risk of exposure. And they're not relenting. They're not stopping. They're going out there and doing it because, one, it's what they do. And, two, it's because someone has to do that stuff. And they're keeping a lot of people alive. And they're protecting even people like you and me who aren't in the hospital, okay? By helping those people that are in the hospital come out okay. But a lot of them aren't coming out okay. And more every day. So, you know, the more you see that, and it's undeniable at this point, you know, the less you hear people complaining. I know it's hard. We all know it's hard. Like I said, it hasn't been that bad, but everybody's experience is different. And I know for a lot of people, it has been really bad. And I mean, all you can do is all you can do. That's such a cliche, but it's so true at this point. The hardest part is just not having a finish line. There will eventually be a finish line. In the meantime, just try and do the best every day to make your day fun, you know, whatever it is. You can still go outside for a bike ride. We've done that a ton, and we always did stuff like that. But, I, you know, if you're looking for positives, like, I've been spending more time playing outside with my kids. And, again, I already did that, but we're doing it even more now. But maybe some of you out there, excuse me, didn't get to do that much before. Great chance to do that. You can go for a bike ride. You can go for a walk. Keep your distance from people. You can still do those things. You know, if you have pets, same thing. Maybe they get to walk a little more than usual now. You know, whatever it is, just try to make the best of it and try to understand there's now, maybe we can all agree, a good reason for doing this. Maybe we didn't all agree before, but if not before, then now we should. And let's just hope, and the harder we work at it, the sooner it will be, that we can have a regular football season and not have people talking about building biodomes in the middle of a cornfield somewhere to house the entire National Football League for 5 straight months to play shadow football, if you will. So anyway, thanks to all of you for listening. Again, I know maybe I've got more of a captive audience than normal. Hey, Joe Bucks fan, big month, all right? So obviously people are excited about Tom Brady and things like that too. But one thing that has not stopped, okay? We can talk about all these other things that are either adjusting or stopping altogether. Joe Bucks Fan has not stopped. The single best place anywhere on the internet for Bucks coverage. And new content is getting pumped out every day. There is news every day. You don't have to worry about missing a thing. So thanks to them. Thanks to our sponsors at Bill Curry Ford. Check them out on the website, BillCurryFord.com, or go see them in person. Mention us for the Joe Bucks Fan discount. My good friend Sean Sullivan is ready to deal, okay? And you guys all can check it out. 0% APR for 84 months, and they're not going to have any payments till the summer because of what's going on right now. So thanks to them. Thanks to all of you folks. I will be back. And I'm not even doing week to week now. I might go 10 days without a show, then I might do 2 shows in 5 days. Time has no meaning, right? So that's this week's edition of the show. I might do another one later in the week, or I might do another one next week. I don't know yet, but I can tell you this. Well, first of all, we'll do something with the new uniforms when that comes out on Tuesday. Beyond that, I don't know what's going on yet. Be safe. Keep trying to have fun any way you can. All right? Stay positive. I'm not an expert about all the medical stuff, but that's the advice I'm going to give you. I'll be back next week. In the meantime, that is another back porch self-isolation edition of the Free Stretch. Wherever you are, probably at home, good morning, good afternoon, good night, and go Bucks.